Welcome to Coochie Conversations, where we give you the real on all things women's health, spirituality, and motherhood. Empowering women to have sovereignty over themselves, we shine light on the disparities that women face daily as divine feminine beings. So steep your favorite tea, roll up your favorite smoke blend, and tune into this week's episode of Coochie Conversations. Peace Tribe, it's your girl Bianca Pittman, aka your Coochie Shiro, giving you a fresh Coochie Conversations episode. Today we're talking about the Ebony Alert with Joanne and Najla. Damn, it's a Coochie Conversations reunion today.
It's giving reunion.
Oh, I miss the tribe.
Oh, it feels good to be
back like we never lived.
You know, right? I got a blanket up to my
I feel like kitten. I'm going to be in the delivery room just doing a Coochie Conversations episode.
You know what? I think we enjoy it because it feels like one of our FaceTimes. You know, it feels like, you know.
It's just organic.
Yeah. And then we're live and our listeners all chime in and like you're following and my following and then they meet each other and it's like.
All right. We need to go live maybe just once a month.
Yeah.
Because people have been asking me. They've been. Like, where are you guys live? Like, I love chiming in and everything like that. Like, I love tuning into it.
We gotta give them what they want.
Najla, yep. The people are asking for a few things of you, but it's not the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Really? We're not doing that right
now. Time. You told me you got time, so I'm about to put you.
Okay, because you know, we need your art. We need your commissions.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, we're trying to get back in the swing.
You got it. I'm so excited. So like Bianca said, we're talking about the Ebony Alert. It didn't really hit me. I'm on the East Coast. I'm in New York. Najla's on the same coast as I am. So I'm going to read a paragraph of what the Ebony Alert is, according to CNN. A new California law will create an emergency alert system to help find missing Black youth and women between the ages of 12 and 25. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed SB 673 into law October 8th. The bill, which goes into effect on January 1st, will enable California Highway Patrol to activate the new Ebony Alert upon request from local law enforcement when a young Black youth or Black woman is reported missing under unexplained or suspicious circumstances. I think this comes from that girl who falsified her missing, you know? Right. Yeah, I forgot her name, and I think it's probably for the best.
And that in itself is one of the reasons why we're not taken serious when it comes to whether we're missing, whether we're raped, or we have some type of domestic violence situation, because there's so many women that falsify circumstances that make it bad for the women that actually go through these circumstances. I live in California, as many of you know, and I was just kind of apprehensive about the real agenda of the Ebony Alert. Like, I understand what it's supposed to do and I understand how necessary it is for Black women. However, on the contrary, I do feel like there can be circumstances where there's not a, you know, police and law enforcement is like the biggest gang. And not all of them are, you know, for Black people, Black women, or whatever, what have you. So hypothetically speaking, what if, Amber is white and Ebony is Black? So if Ebony goes off, is the law enforcement just gonna be like, oh, all right, that's just a missing Black girl, like she's not white, so we don't really have to, you know, do our due diligence? In my research, they were saying 18% of all missing cases are Black. We make up 18% of all missing cases, and how Black women are disappearing at alarming rate. In 2022 alone, 97,000 Black women were reported missing, according to the 2022 NCIC missing persons and unidentified person statistics. Only 7% of missing person cases involving people of color received national media coverage. So a lot of us are missing, obviously, and it just goes under wraps. So now they have this Ebony Alert. Is that going to enhance the media coverage, or is that going to continue to put more things under wraps because now it's an alert that they're getting and they don't really have to abide by it if they choose not to? 77 in right now.
Seven is in the building.
What you talk about?
What I want to share is that there are so many Black inclusive platforms that are for the allocation of missing people. There's Black and Missing Podcast. There is a public series on HBO Max. There are several platforms. There are Instagram pages of Black and Missing. There are different community-based organizations geared toward the allocation of resources to relocate Black people and reconnect them back to their respective dwelling places.
Can we talk for a moment about safe spaces?
Absolutely.
Now, there's a few things. I know I missed like a minute of what you guys are saying. However, in the gist of things, it's like with that situation with that woman, it could have been such a variation of things that was occurring in her personal life that we need to consider as well. She may not have had spaces where she felt safe enough to run to because of her dynamic and her relationship dynamics, and maybe even her family dynamic. There have been times, and I'm telling you guys this, where I've immediately woke up in the morning and run. You know what I'm saying? And because of my family dynamic, I know that if I was to do that, it would send off blinking alerts.
Okay.
Like,
of any color.
What's happening? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah.
So it's like there could have been so much going on in that young woman's life where she didn't feel like she had a safe space, which just seconds, Joanne, what you're saying about being more protective of one another, because the internet was so adamant about coming down on her about being a liar. And I feel like when it comes to setting this Ebony alert, I feel like, you know, people took one situation, like we were just saying, they take one dynamic or one type of person or one type of situation
and exploit it.
And exploit it and make it a blanket statement over, oh, now nobody's gonna believe Black women when they go missing or when they say they're being attacked or what have you. That is one person. You're talking about a millions population, millions of Black women. Believe them.
Yeah, believe them, because
your first instinct should be believe them before it's proven wrong.
Yeah, when do we start questioning the victims? And I think this Ebony alert is really more so that law enforcement can decide the intensity of a search. It's like, oh, they always go missing, right? And I think that Black women and children are on the top percentile of abducted and trafficked individuals in this country. And it speaks to how valuable we are as a resource, as opposed to being a people. There's not that many recovery stories. You know, when Black people go missing, they go missing. So when they are found, it's a joyous and celebratory event. So for the woman to go missing and then be found, it was not more so, oh, a Black woman is home and she's safe, let's get her the help. It was like, hold her to the fullest extent of the law, hold her accountable to the fullest extent, you know, get her in court, get, you know, her boyfriend was slandering her. Her
she's parents. A liar.
Right, right.
Ugh.
Right. And right
honestly,
now,
but would you have rather her be found dead, though?
I think
let's
so.
Really talk about it.
I think so. I think it would have been more logical that way. She's missing and she died, because it would have been case closed, what typically happens.
Right. Because like, they say that Black women missing Black women cases stay open 4 times longer than their counterparts. So I think they would have rather found her dead as opposed to finding her alive. Like,
and you know, speaking to missing Black people right now, these current chains are being sued for participating in child and women trafficking. The Wyndham Hotels and Resorts, La Quinta Inn and Suites, Hilton Worldwide Holdings, DoubleTree by Hilton, Choice Hotels Comfort Inn. These are locations that are in desperate, destitute, and low-income performing.
Did you see? Right. Did you see the video on social media about? I think my partner has showed it to me about the hotel rooms that have like the tunnels and stuff inside of them.
Yeah. So we're easily tucked away. Like,
Right. If you like open up a closet in the hotel room and there's like a little slab that's like cut out, and you open, like the guy opened it up and he went down in there and was literally like a tunnel that
Oh,
led to.
out. Yeah. And I think that that whole that one woman going missing is really the public, it feeds into the public hoax of you're irrelevant, you don't matter, they're liars anyway. So to dismiss us is to aid in our erasure, right? So if we tuck them away, they're always going to society won't miss them. So it's really more to dismiss us as a culture and as a people, so that to discredit us, right? So that when we are missing, it's like we could find them another, they're going to show up one day. So the Ebony Alert is really like, let's feel it out, let's wait it out, you know? And I think that that differentiation is like, it's so loud, because how can you, right, establish that Ebony Alert and establish the Amber Alert without establishing that you put, like, you participate in the disparity of our people? Like, there's a dichotomy here. Why should we even have to
To
establish
have a
and
separation
arrest
of
Ebony?
alert.
Like,
Right, exactly. And they say that, Black women are often targeted, particularly for sex trafficking, being that we're seen more as being promiscuous. We're stereotyped as being like more promiscuous, and more responsible for our disappearance, as opposed to like a white woman would be more of a damsel in distress. So, Amber Alert is damsel in distress. And Ebony Alert is responsible for the disappearance. That's how I'm feeling.
yeah, and these are luxury. Some of these hotels are luxury hotels that they're being captured. One woman was taken off a cruise. Her family didn't even see her leave the boat. They checked this island. They checked the ports,
What
and
about when all those women were going missing in DR? It's like they were seen going into their hotel rooms. So it's like they must have had one of those,
trap door.
travel
At
trap
the
doors.
same, in the same breath of them devaluing us in society and the world, in the same breath, they value our organs. They
Absolutely.
value our possession, our bodily possessions, and that's what they're taking us
We
for.
are the trade.
I was
We
told
are the
here
actual.
in LA right now, the other day, that there's downtown, that there's like women being abducted, basically even being brought into like homeless people's tents, basically. But they're like abducting a certain stature of woman, like 110 pounds, like a very petite type, my type of woman, me, who I am, you know what I mean? And it's like, I don't look like your average 35. It doesn't even matter at this point if I'm 12, 25, or 35. I guess there's a war on women, but there's a war on petite sized women who can just be obviously just picked up and
Easily snatched, easily grabbed.
into a van or something. Has there been a particular experience that you've encountered where you felt like you may have been sighted or like, looked at as being abducted?
Absolutely. One night I was with a group of friends of mine. We decided that we had more resources than a little bit after an event, and we had more food left over, so we packed it nice and neat, and we decided to go near a very predominant and prominent homeless shelter here in Brooklyn. And we said, we're gonna give this food out. And it was just my friend and I. We went by the Holy Spirit. We're like, it's, we're taking turns. So she's in the car grabbing more stuff. I'm giving stuff out. We're taking turns going back, shuttling between the vehicle. And it was an instance where I had about four or five plates, and I'm looking down like to give them out, and I was circled. I was circled, and it wasn't like an ominous circle, like, but it was like I felt people closing in on me. And when I looked up and I look at the faces, it was clean faces, dirty clothes. And yes, mixed race. I have not spoke about this publicly, and I had never told nobody. This is very funny. Not funny, but sad, actually, how even in the midst of us doing outreach, we are still vulnerable, and they look for those vulnerabilities in us. So, like, in my charitable efforts, they saw me as being vulnerable, and they enclose on me, and it made me think, like, how society is like so cumbersome with these lapses of safety for Black women. Like, there are puppets like outside the shelter, right, waiting for people to be on the side. You know, like, what were they waiting on? Were they waiting on somebody to give change? Like, what was the setup? And because I looked up, they didn't realize that I was with a friend. So my friend walked up because we were going to leave the car by ourselves. We were going to leave it running, drop the food and come back. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit, she stopped the car, grabbed the rest of the boxes and the containers in the box. And she met me. So when she came behind me, she was calling. We were talking loud. Like, we, you know, how we are. We're like, yeah, so and so. Like, like Black people with a rhythm and we still doing stuff, having a conversation. So I'm looking at the circle and I was like, giving it to this person, that person. I'm clocking my six and my two. And then she comes behind me and the circle opens up and they just start disappearing. They weren't even from the shelter. They were from a nearby area. They were watching people.
Wow.
And I think that that one scenario taught me so much about situational awareness and how predatory it is to like be out of a homeless shelter. Like, what were you looking for? Like, you were going to ask for change? Like, were you looking for people to take with you? Like, one individual even got into a vehicle, a black unmarked SUV, and went around the corner. I'm like, right now they're dumping immigrants and they're dumping homeless people in different parts of Queens right now. Creedmoor.
Yes.
Belmore Hotel. Like, they're just dropping off by the busloads. And the statistics are so alarming about how many women and children from the pickup site to the bus to the drop-off site go missing. And this is right now happening in the tri-state area.
Happening on Skid Row, for sure.
Yeah, it's happening. 20% of Skid Row is black military veterans.
Yep. Have you guys ever watched Soft White Underbelly?
No, what's that?
It's these stories on Facebook Watch. And it's this interviewer, this man, who interviews all different types of people. He interviews white, black, mixed, anybody. A lot of these people are from Skid Row. A lot of them are prostitutes, drug addicts, and anything in between and underneath and above. So there are a lot of stories about that. People are sharing their life stories, and it's just alarming to me. You're watching this on the outside, but the way people devalue life, like people's lives, if you don't have a certain societal stature, you're not making this amount of, it's target, like immigrants to people in society, it's like, no one's gonna miss you. You don't have family.
Those targets are vulnerable people, right? People in disparity.
Yeah, vulnerable population. That's how I should call it.
Yeah.
And and that's who's being targeted. And it's very scary. It's a very scary notion. Because who is to say that their life doesn't matter? Who is to say that they don't need protecting? And it sucks that you're trying to now reach out to those people and get them resources. And having to look over your shoulder because people want to take advantage of the vulnerable population. It's honestly very ridiculous. I found the page. I did my diligence and found the page that I was mentioning in the last podcast. It's called 25_BWB, Targeted Individuals. Black women are being hunted and tortured in America. Why is Congress doing nothing? The attack against me escalated when I announced my acceptance to seminary school and began because I spoke out against discrimination at work. I've been gassed, poisoned, tortured, stalked, and defamed. Every day these people have tried to kill. Every day. And this woman talks vastly. And then other women, so one woman said, "You are not alone. I'm a model from Queens, New York, and I've been targeted for 2 years now." There are women actually now coming forth and saying, telling similar stories. Like, I feel like I've been watched. I feel like I've been targeted. You know what they do with those people, Joanne?
Please tell
They
me.
Put them in mental health services.
I follow a woman. I've been following her story for about, I would say like 11 or 12 years now. She's on Facebook. I don't follow her on Instagram or anything like that because, you know, I didn't go down that rabbit hole. But she was a child that was abducted and she searched for her natural parents her whole adult life. When she became aware that she was adopted, she searched for her natural parents her whole entire life. She found out that her mother had been deported to London because of her stints in the prison system and the mental health system for saying that someone stole her baby. And
wow.
She went to London to go find her mom. She couldn't find her mom. She left with breadcrumbs. This woman is now a grown woman. She's about our age. She's in her mid-30s. She has a son. She has a career. She opened up dentistry. And to this day, y'all, she posts like, you know, one day I'm going to find my mom and find out why. And I hear her story. I champion for her. But overall, y'all, she is a missing Black child. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like,
we are surrounded by people who were abducted and then replanted somewhere else to start their lives. There was
her mother was silenced, essentially.
Silenced. Right.
When they put you in mental care systems for speaking out against something that has happened to you as a Black woman, that's where the problem lies as well. Why am I all of a sudden crazy? And society will piggyback this. I'm crazy because I'm experiencing something and I'm gasping for help. And everyone is like, no, she's crazy.
Muzzle
her. We have that label put on us so often that is so desensitized.
Yeah.
Now that society knows that
we're serious when we do end up missing, or like I said, when we're raped, or we're, you know, experience domestic violence.
Right. And even when it's proven, like her daughter said, she found out that's not her biological parents and she was in fact abducted. Why was there not more done to rectify the fact that you put this lady away because she was saying someone abducted her child?
Yeah. And she had to undo the whole case. Like I said, I've been following this for like 12 years. Like, I'm like, there's even a true crime podcast about her particular situation, but there's so many podcasts, so many like media outlets that are speaking against disparity in Black women and Black children going missing. And the bigger part of them going missing is abduction, but the bigger part of that is the mutilation of their bodies. Like you said, Najla, we are living in a time where the Black market is rampant. Not the Black market with you. I was talking about the Black market with a CK.
And we are Eves.
Right. I had a surgery in the middle of April, just before my birthday, and it was a women's clinic. And when I looked around, there was a very obvious disparity of different ages of women and different ages and different phases of their life. And I got the most medical attention. I had doctors, nurses, residents. They were all coming in here, like they were coming into my space like a wonder, no pun intended. Like, the doctor couldn't believe that I was this age and I had my current condition of health was in his words, not mine, because I have work to do, pristine. And he just kept marveling at my cells and marveling at the condition of my body and marveling that I'm 36 years old and I had this amount of health. You know, no health scare during my pregnancy. Like, he was astonished that, you know, I had shrunken my fibroids because my OBGYN came in and told him, this is my patient, the one who yoni steams. This is the one with the herbs. And it was very weird. It was very weird because I felt like a circus animal. I felt like how Sarah Barton must have felt when she had her big butt and the circus was like, you know, taking her from city to city, showing her voluptuous shape. I felt like they were looking at me like, wow, look at... Literally, explicitly, look at the shape of her body. Look at the organs. Like, look at her heart. And then, like, even when I was in the
valuable she is.
Yeah, yeah, right. They drew blood from me, and like it was so perverted how they just kept tapping the vial. Like, oh wow, your blood is so rich. And they told me my blood type and how rare it was, and they were all salivating, right? And because of my that current mental state that I was in, I was literally in survival mode. So I felt so naked. I felt naked, and the word I can put to it, well, I felt vulnerable. That they kept calling someone in. They were telling me, this is your doctor, this is your nurse, they'll be with you. But they kept bringing other people. They kept bringing a plus one. And I'm in a robe, you know what I mean? I'm in a contained environment. You know, I'm trying to get, you know, I'm trying to like live my life and just be okay from this whole ordeal. I had just been assaulted by my ex-fiance. It was a lot. It was a rough time. So I was very much broken. So for them to see that I had value, even from a broken place, it was so scary. Like, they don't give a damn where my head is at. As long as my heart is beating, I got this blood type. Like, anything could happen to me and nobody would know. You know, and that's how I felt in the space of a doctor's facility. So imagine the height of fear it is just to walk home at night. I was actually raped coming home late one night. You know, Black Girl Code saved my life. you know, and we need to do an even better job, because we do a great job here. We need to do an even better job about being a little bit more protective of Black women and Black children, especially when there's signs of danger. I know that there's videos like, oh, if a child is missing, make sure they hold up two fingers or flash fingers. Where is that implementation in the Black culture?
Right. Yes, we need it.
Do parents and children have a safe word? Me and my daughter have a code, a safety code. If she's on the phone with me or if she's texting me, I know if it's her, I know if it's not her. And there had been an incident in her school last year where a school, I can't say too much, but a school official was actually texting me from my daughter's phone. And while she was being reprimanded and while she was being detained in the principal's office. And I knew it wasn't my child by the tone of the conversation. And I prompted the safety word. I didn't say the safety word. And the person didn't kick back. And I think minutes later, when I was on my way to the school, like I was in the Uber on the way to the school, my daughter texted me and it was her misspelling and her safety code. She let me know. She's like, and we have a safety code. So it's, I'm in danger, come get me. Or, you know, or I'm fine, there's something going on. You know what I mean? Like there's different levels today. Everybody is different. I encourage you to talk to your children more often.
Yes.
She had prompted me like, something's going on. I'm safe, but I'm not okay. And it was all in that, the phraseology that I, like, you know, I was already on my way. So I came in ready. I didn't come in my typical way, hi, Miss Martinez. It was not, hi, Miss Martinez. Where is my daughter? You know what I mean? And it implemented that red light in my mind. And y'all, I couldn't have been more right. And I'm glad my daughter had those conversations, because even recently when she got into, if she was in danger with her peer group, and she still, and I was able to literally extract her from that situation because we had a safety code.
Yes. And we need that.
Yeah. We need to add in society. We need a code.
So the question that I was thinking when you were talking about your experience in the facility is really, what are we doing about this? So the reason why I asked that is because of this. I have a Black OB and I sought her out.
Mm-hmm.
She listens to me. Where I am feeling unheard, I make it known I'm feeling unheard. And I need you, because you look like me, I need you to hear me. And you know, she will sit down and she will listen to me. She would look me dead in my eyes and reassure me.
If in the case of us being abducted or missing, we need to have that same implementation. So what you're saying is, like, we need to, like, the outreach, right? We need to be comfortable in outreach. Right. So like, that goes to my mind as far as, like, if we're in danger, we should be comfortable enough or empowered enough to say, hey, I am in danger, or the nearest.
And that's what she spoke on, because I told her straight up, I do not feel confident or safe with what is going on in the medical industry with pregnant women, especially pregnant women of color. Well, pregnant women of color, let's call it. And what am I to do in an instance where I am in active labor? She says to me, if they are a part of my team, I'm not going to let anybody play you. The moment I see something,
say something.
I'm calling it out right then and there. I'm not waiting till after you're experiencing a trauma during labor.
Yeah.
I'm calling it that moment. And we're getting that person up and out of the room.
Yeah.
Up and out of there, because the doctor that is her colleague, and I haven't mentioned him to her, but the woman today that did my infusion, she's like, I know what you're, I told her about the doctor. And I said, I don't like him. I don't feel comfortable with him. He's a white male and I just don't like his tone with me. She's like, I know who you're talking about. And I don't either. I had him switched immediately.
Yeah.
I'm writing in my plan. Listen, this particular person makes me nervous.
Yeah.
They are mishandling my wishes. So it's like, is this a possible solution? Are we going, you know, along with the code words and along with the verbiage? We need to have a system of alert in place for moments when we're feeling like, this is not it.
So I feel
and
like
I want to exit stage left. And this should be known, especially between Black people community in the medical field.
Yeah. I will say the solution to this is for us as a people to transmute the ebony alert. You know what I'm saying? So when it's resounding, right? It's all over California. But when we hear it, it's a dog whistle. When we hear it, we implement advocacy. When we hear it, we get into protocol, which is search by any means. You search your core, you search your quarters, and we have a hub where we collectively communicate. We can really turn this around. Like, yeah, they have an ebony alert, but we're going to have internal comms.
Internal
like,
system. We're going to
believe that. You heard that whistle? We know what to do. And we can galvanize because they may not be as active or proactive as we are. So I urge all our listeners to, you know, get brave and get emboldened in your space mm-hmm. of advocacy. We all have a vantage point. We all have a strength and their safety in numbers. So the more of us that care, the more of us that are implementing this ebony alert, is an ebony alert.
For we got to speak up because that's really what it boils down to. We don't speak up enough.
Mm-hmm. And I want to mention this thing as well. It took nothing from you that you felt like, whether a person is lying or lying not, it took nothing from your life to still do the work.
Right. Right.
Because no matter if it's 10 people lying, you could have saved that one child who was telling the truth.
Honestly, and when they see us active like that, man, they don't play about each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
right? Right. No matter what the scenario is,
they don't play. Yeah, yeah, we don't.
Don't be like, oh, she's lying, so I'm never gonna look for nobody again. Wrong and wrong, because no matter how many white women have faked their situations, their rapes, their this, their that, nobody stops looking for them.
Right. We were looking for that missing girl for a while.
Okay, so it's like.
The more continue. Black women that are missing, the less black babies that can come into this world. Of course, they're going to go looking for the white woman because they're becoming the minority.
Mm. There's that too, girl. Who talk about it? Who child?
Ooh, my aunt. Bianca.
Who child? You hit on something. You hit a nerve. You hit a chord.
It's the underscore of erasure for me, right? If you mute us, you can silence us. And if we're silent, we don't matter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if all lives matter, we should be looking for everybody as a citizen of society.
Yes. Okay,
period. It doesn't need to be a segregation in alerts.
And I feel like when things like that happen, when there's like such a bold statement of disparity, we should come together and be like, yeah, ebony alert. This is how we respond. Word. Alert.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And we're gonna make sure we find every last one. We're not gonna stop.
Every uncle, everybody in every bodega, every corner, we're gonna echo that. You know what I mean? Like we're gonna post it. Ebony alert 55. The so and so, her name was Tina. She was with her boyfriend.
Wait until they cut, because California is the first state. It ain't gonna be the only state. So
lean into it. Right. And put it into practice. Ebony alert, heard you.
Heard you. Every time we need to be posting, every time there's an ebony alert, it should come.
It don't matter.
We should be
able to. Every time there's an Amber alert and there's a black child, ebony alert.
Post it.
Every time
somebody's missing, I see it on their story. I repost it. Somebody might know her.
I'm going to repost it. And I'm going to keep posting it. And I'm going to keep posting it because we live in a world where black women just don't matter as much. We matter to each other. You are valuable to me as a person, as an individual, and you're a part of my legacy. Your breathing, your modalities, your whole existence, it validates mine. So you matter to me, but I'm one person.
Right. We need to matter as a whole to each other.
I'm going to repost every person missing. If you're lying, go deal with God.
Right, I don't got nothing to do.
And you know what? I love that for me, because you meet me, you know I don't play about black women. I do not play about black women. I do not play about black women.
That's why I wanted to have this episode, because I realized that ebony alert is only on in California right now, but
it's a huge state.
Yeah.
So if the little ones are coming next.
Mm-hmm. Just around. And then it'll be on the East Coast, you know?
But the good thing is that we're ready. And I'm glad that you shared this awareness, because we're ready. We're ready for the next alert. Because it will happen. Statistically, it will happen. But it stops with us.
They say that there's other alerts, like Native women alerts in other countries. I mean, I heard in other countries. I don't know how, you know, how great they are as far as preventing missing women. But... Okay. I hear in other countries they do it as well. I don't know.
Ooh, tough, tough times.
Hey, where'd you go?
Any last words of encouragement for the women of today and the children of today?
You have any mantras?
In the words of the great Candy Burris, who was a May Taurus, I see you, you see me, we see each other.
Dang. Yep. I say that let's create our codes. Let's create our Black girl codes before disaster happens. Ooh. Let's not wait until we are in emergency settings to have these conversations amongst each other.
Yeah.
How can I protect you, sister? Whether it be through community, through reaching out and elders in the community, let's text our sisters, our closest group of friends,